Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the means of grace, for your church, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together. And we ask this evening, as we spend a few minutes in your word, as we spend some time together in prayer, and Lord, as we spend time in fellowship, that we would glorify you, and that the Spirit would be working amongst us, that we would benefit from your means of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we've, over the last few evenings that we've had some teaching, we've looked at some different aspects about who we are. We started with our purpose as a church, and then our mission. From there, we looked at our vision last time, and then tonight we're gonna look at our values. And it's probably gonna be a little shorter than the other times. When I put all this together, which I'll make available in another setting, I realized that we have 12 values, and as I explained each one, well, let's just say it might be the longest sermon I've ever put together. So, out of maybe wisdom, kindness, whatever it may be, I'm going to cut back. And so instead of explaining each of the values, we'll just read through them, maybe touch on one or two in the beginning, kind of setting our guardrail there. But the first thing we're going to do is read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 26. We're going to read from the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to read from that because I want us to see how, though these are the outworkings of either being unregenerate or regenerate, either not having the Spirit working in you or having the Spirit work in you, they are somewhat reflecting of the purpose of values of the church that we'll get to in just a moment. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Has anybody ever ridden on the tail of the dragon? It's a road. I think it's US 129. So it's kind of a linking, connecting road between East Tennessee and Western North Carolina. Montana. Yeah. So it's a long road. And there's a section, particularly here in East Tennessee, that's pretty popular. It's considered one of the most beautiful roads in the country, and at the same time, one of the most dangerous. It has 300 turns. So on this road, you can imagine being in East Tennessee, that's kind of a mountainous area, you know, the Appalachians that come through. There's a lot of guardrails on the road. And those guardrails, they keep folks from driving their cars or motorcycles right off the edge if they were going a little too fast in a part, and they come up on a turn and it catches them. Instead of just driving off the cliff and dying, the guardrail slows them down a little bit, is the hope at least. You can imagine there's lots of folks like ride their motorcycles, like to take their cars up there and drive the turns, and those who enjoy that type of thing. Perhaps if you get motion sickness, you're thinking this is a nightmare. Who would want to do that? But there are some folks that enjoy it. It's like steering a roller coaster almost. And it's those guardrails, thankfully, that keep folks on the road and keep them safe. So as we look at these values of Christ Church, hopefully as we go through them, you can think about the guardrail aspect. So it's the guardrail that keeps us on the road. Well, the values are what keep us on the road towards maintaining our purpose, seeking to accomplish our mission, and also heading towards our vision. So that's why we read from Galatians chapter 5. It's getting a little bit of a picture there, the works of the flesh. These are things that, in a sense, keep someone in a guardrail heading towards destruction, as it were, even though they're the outworkings of that. And then the fruit of the Spirit, the outworking of a regenerate self, is we see these actions are somewhat of a guardrail moving the Christian down the road of maturity. So hopefully you can see a little bit of the connection there, or at least one that's been laid for us to think about. So by God's grace, the values of Christ Church help us achieve our purpose, mission, and vision. And as I mentioned, I won't, for all 12 of these, I won't give a long explanation, may even just read each one. But in the beginning, we'll probably hit a little bit more so that we can get these laid out. So our first value here at the church, something that's important to us, a guardrail that keeps us on the road and path that we're heading down, is we are God-focused and Bible-guided. As we read in Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And 2 Timothy 3:16-17, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So the first value, the first thing we hold on to, we think about even tying in with our purpose of glorifying God. The first value, where we start, is that we're God-focused because God is what life's all about. God is number one. It's about God. It's not about ourselves. It's not even necessarily about the church itself, but it's about God, our covenant, faithful God. We are His people. We worship God. We serve God. We want to be committed to biblical principles over pragmatism. So instead of living as a church where each time we come to a situation, we think, well, what would be the best way that we could take care of this? What would be the fastest, directest route? But instead, we want to back up and say, well, what does God say in His Word? What are the principles He gives us that we might be able to, maybe it'll be more challenging and difficult and hard to do it this way, but let's do it as God says to do it. Christ Church is committed to worshiping and living as God commands in the Bible. There's something called the regulative principle of worship, which is the idea of worshiping as God commands in His Word. We could expand that out and think of a Reformed view or a Protestant view and think of a regulative life. We want to live life. We want to have a church structure. We want to interact with one another. Everything we want to do is as God commands. So God is our focus. We're God-focused, and it is the Bible that guides us, that we might know how we are to live. So that's the first of our values. The second is that we are gospel-centered and grace-driven. Gospel-centered and grace-driven. We read in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, if you've been around for a little bit, you know that the gospel is good news. You've probably heard that before. The gospel is the good news that there is forgiveness for our sins. There's salvation in Christ, that we who have been removed from the presence of God because of sin and the fall, that through Jesus there is the opportunity to be reconciled and have that relationship brought back together with God. That is the good news, the repentance and faith in Christ. We talked about recently how the gospel, though, is not just something for unbelievers to hear, but the gospel is important for Christians in a daily way. We want to apply the gospel to our lives. We think about the importance of God's grace and forgiveness, and that's something that we need to look at every day as we seek God's forgiveness and we seek his grace in these things. That is a daily principle for God's people. So we are gospel-centered. That is the center of the church, and we are grace-driven, God's grace that is there for us. We live in grace because God's grace towards us, and we have the opportunity because of God's grace, we might be gracious to one another and extend that to those who are around us. So we're God-focused and Bible-guided, and then the second value we have is we're gospel-centered and grace-driven. The third value at Christ Church is we love God, each other, and our neighbors. So love is a central aspect. As we read in Matthew 22, 37, 40, when the lawyer comes and is trying to trick Jesus and figure out a way to trip him up and ask him, what's the greatest commandment? And Christ responds, he says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And then later in John, jump over to John, as it were, in around chapter 13, Jesus talks about the importance of his people loving one another. And then it's actually the love that we have for one another on display to the world that others will look and say, those are disciples of Jesus. That will be a marking distinction, Jesus says, is our love for one another. The way that we love each other as God's people, that will be something that will identify us as Christians to a watching world. And the wonderful thing is that God doesn't just command us to love him, command us to love each other, and command us to love our neighbors. But the Spirit actually empowers us and gives us the ability to do that very thing. So we're not left in the state as an unbeliever where God says, you need to love me, and it's impossible to do. But God has given us a new heart that loves him, though we're not able to do it perfectly. But in Christ and the power of the Spirit, we are able to love. So we are God-focused and Bible-guided. We are gospel-centered and grace-driven. We love God, each other, and our neighbors. And the fourth value is we pray without ceasing. We just think about the importance of prayer. We pray when we gather together. We pray in our services. We pray in our homes. We pray when we come together. We're going to spend time in corporate prayer here in a bit. Prayer is very important. That's how we talk to God. When to hear from God, we open his word. We read it. That is God's word. We then pray and speak to him, and we're able to have a covenantal dialogue with our God. So we're God-focused and Bible-guided. We're gospel-centered and grace-driven. We love God, each other, and our neighbors. We pray without ceasing. And then the fifth value at Christ Church is we welcome through hospitality and fellowship. So hospitality, particularly we see in the scriptures, is the entertaining of strangers. And then fellowship is what we enjoy as God's people together. Fellowship is what we enjoy with God. He brings us into fellowship with him, and we are able to enjoy that amongst each other because of Christ. So there is an aspect in those two things. So when we're welcoming guests, when we're inviting people, when we're engaging people, our neighbors, friends, family, in the community and bringing them, we're showing them hospitality as we welcome them here at Christ Church. We show them hospitality as we invite them in to our homes or meet with them and engage with them. And then by God's grace, as he brings them to a saving faith in Christ, we have the opportunity to have fellowship with them and fellowship together, the fellowship that we're going to enjoy as we are right now, but we're really going to enjoy later as we're eating and the kids are running around and having fun. So we welcome through hospitality in fellowship. So we're God-focused and Bible-guided. We're gospel-centered, grace-driven. We love God, each other, and our neighbors. We pray without ceasing. We welcome through hospitality and fellowship. Then the sixth value is we make disciples through the ordinary means of grace. Word, prayer, and sacrament. That's what God's given us. We're given this task in Matthew 28, the mission of the church. We talked about that already. The mission is to make disciples of Jesus. And the scriptures tell us that we make disciples through the means of grace that God's given. So how is it, in Matthew 28, it says that part of making disciples is to teach these disciples everything that God has commanded. Well, how are we to teach and understand these things if we don't turn to God's word? That discipleship is empowered by prayer, and then for God's people also empowered through the sign and seals of the sacraments. So we're God-focused, Bible-guided, we're gospel-centered, grace-driven, we love God, each other, and our neighbors, we pray without ceasing, we welcome through hospitality and fellowship, we make disciples through the ordinary means of grace, and then the seventh value that we want to hold to as a church is we're generous with our treasure, time, and talents. We want to be good stewards of what God has given to us. So we have treasure, time, talents, these different things. God's given each of us different amounts of these. We're in different seasons of our life with all of this, but we can steward them well and to God's glory, and we can be generous as God has been generous with us. We also then can be in turn generous with one another with these three things and those who are around us. So we're God-focused, Bible-guided, we're gospel-centered, grace-driven, we love God, each other, and our neighbors, we pray without ceasing, we welcome through hospitality and fellowship, we make disciples through the ordinary means of grace, we're generous with our treasure, time, and talents, and then the eighth value is we're humble by grace and quick to show honor. And we see in Philippians 2 the picture of Christ when he came and took on flesh and his humiliation. We're given a doxological song of praise about Christ there. And the purpose of it is teaching. What we learn from that is not only what Christ did, but for God's people, the importance of following in that path of humbleness, humility, that we would not be arrogant. We would not be proud. Even as we read earlier from, as I read a couple of verses there in Ephesians chapter 2, talking about salvation and grace and speaking of the fact that it's a gift from God, and we're told that we're not to boast. We didn't earn our salvation. We don't boast in anything except we boast in Christ. So we are to be a humble people. God's people are to be humble. And in that humility, it's a humility that's given to us by grace, and that we are to show honor. And we show honor to one another. We are to think more highly of one another than we do of ourselves. We're to look for ways that we might be able to honor and care for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And part of that is coming from a humble attitude and the opposite of an arrogant attitude, so that none of us think that we're better than each other or we're the ones that deserve to be served, but we look for ways to serve one another, love each other, care for one another. So we're God-focused, Bible-guided, we're gospel-centered, grace-driven, we love God, each other, and our neighbors, we pray without ceasing, we welcome through hospitality and fellowship, we make disciples through ordinary means of grace, we're generous with our treasure, time, and talents, we're humble by grace and quick to show honor. And then the ninth, our ninth value is we don't do pretend. We don't do pretend. Meaning we don't want to live the life of a hypocrite. We want to be honest. We want to be sincere. That's why every Sunday we come together in corporate worship in the morning and we confess our sins together in anticipation of hearing God's proclamation of pardon, that assurance that we get of his forgiveness. We don't want to be as perhaps maybe this, the stories are told in joking manners, or maybe it's a very realistic one, but it's the one where we put on the church face. We want to be able to be real with one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here to lean upon one another, to help each other, to love each other. And we are able to pick one another up, encourage each other, point one another to Christ, and that we might be sincere in these things. We want to be honest, not living lives of hypocrisy, knowing that we won't be perfect, knowing we need God's grace in all of these things. That's why we, as we engage with folks continually, one of the things that we've been trying to do, and I'm sure you are as well, is opening opportunities for people to ask questions, being willing to wrestle with the questions of faith and these ultimate questions, being a place where folks can do that. So we're God-focused, Bible-guided, we're gospel-centered, grace-driven, we love God, each other, and our neighbors. We pray without ceasing. We welcome through hospitality and fellowship. We make disciples through the ordinary means of grace. We're generous with our treasure, time, and talents. We're humble by grace and quick to show honor. We do not pretend. And our tenth value is we're led by elders and deacons who equip and encourage members for the work of ministry. So we see in the scriptures that God gives us elders, that they provide spiritual leadership and equipping of the saints. The scriptures show that we have deacons that the Lord provides to not only give care for the physical aspects and for the sick, but they also have the job of encouraging the liberality and giving of God's people. So there's a leadership role in the officers of the church that God gives, and that is an equipping, encouraging the members, because it's not just the elders and deacons that do all of the work of ministry. You remember, hopefully you've been hearing this as I bring it up, God gives each of us, including you children, God gives all of his people giftings that are to be used in the church. And those gifts, those are the things that we, as the elders, seek to help equip, and the deacons seek to encourage the liberality of the saints, and that we might then, even the children and even the youth, that we might be able to minister to one another and do the work of the ministry by the power of the Spirit, as we are different aspects, different parts of the body of Christ knit together in our head, which is Jesus, so that we're functioning, or we're all in ministry together, and God is working through us for his glory and our benefit. So we're God-focused, Bible-guided, we're gospel-centered and grace-driven. We love God, each other, and our neighbors. We pray without ceasing. We welcome through hospitality and fellowship. We make disciples through the ordinary means of grace. We're generous with our treasure, time, and talents. We're humble by grace and quick to show honor. We do not do pretend. We're led by elders and deacons who equip and encourage members for the work of ministry. And then the 11th value is we are outward oriented through evangelism and service. We want to be a people in a church that is not just inward. It is important that we do enfold. It is important that we are focused on God, but we also want to be focused outward and seeing others. We want to proclaim and witness Christ. We want to serve those around us, even as God gives us these opportunities. So we have, going through our values one more time, we're God-focused, Bible-guided, we're gospel-centered and grace-driven, we love God, each other, and our neighbors, we pray without ceasing, we welcome through hospitality and fellowship, we make disciples through the ordinary means of grace, we're generous with our treasure, time, and talents, we're humble by grace and quick to show honor, we don't do pretend, we're led by elders and deacons who equip and encourage members for the work of ministry, we're outward oriented through evangelism and service. And then the 12th value is we are planted and planting. So that is the idea that we have been established by God's grace, by other churches who have done that work, putting us here. And we want to continue that and be part of that, planting churches here in the Knoxville area, in the future, and then beyond the country. Rest of the country and around the world. So these are the 12 values that are like the guardrails that keep us on the road, so that as we live by these biblical principles, these values, that we as a church are able to move forward so that we can fulfill our purpose, which is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, and then to accomplish the mission that he's given to us. That mission that we have is to glorify God and to enjoy him as we gather, grow, and go, and then to ultimately fulfill that vision we talked about last time, which is about a paragraph and I don't have memorized. So I know you all did. You heard it once or twice and just stuck in your brains. So I don't even have to mention. I can just say vision and you know exactly what I'm talking about. So these are our guardrails. These are the things that hopefully won't become something that we just say, and then maybe one day we think, oh, what were those values? But instead, they're actually descriptions of the way we as a church are living, and as we continue to grow, we'll see developing more and more on the folks amongst us as we glorify God and benefit from his goodness and grace. So those are our 12 values, and as I mentioned, I will I'll put these together. I'll take some of the stuff I wrote up and put it in a place where we could read, you'll be able to read it and get more in depth in understanding of what it is that we are seeking to establish as the values here at Christ Church Presbyterian. All right. Well, let